Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Thomas Abraham James, who is President and CEO at Pulsar Helium. How are you today, Thomas?
Doing very well, Zach. Thanks for having me again. So what's this? This could be our Christmas special, isn't
That's right. We won't talk about mistletoe at this stage, but it's a Christmas. It's nearly Christmas. You're still a relatively new company to the stock market. Maybe it's worth just running down exactly what Pulsar does because you are Canadian listed and the people over here may not be so familiar.
Canadian listed, that's right. It's Pulsar Helium, so as the name suggests, a dedicated helium company. We chose to list in Canada on the TSXV with the ticker PLSR. We chose Canada because our assets are in North America. So we've got a project over in Minnesota in the USA, and then another one in Greenland. So for those reasons, it made sense. You know, for anyone in the UK, we've got a number of UK investors, well, myself included. So it's really actually not too challenging. I mean, the trading hours are 2:30 in the afternoon to through to 9 p.m. So perhaps not as daunting as most people might think with trading in North American stocks.
And what are the headlines as far as what's happened since you listed? Clearly, in the London market, where everyone was waiting for a big helium show and hasn't quite arrived yet. Is the mantle being passed on to you now?
I think that with the helium shortage that's persisted now for about a decade, I think there's a lot of room for multiple companies to be successful. We certainly do wish everyone the best out there. And also, I think that we serve different geographies as well. There's that. We're very happy with what we've got, particularly our flagship project in the USA. The USA is the number one user of helium. So it's great that we're there. Within 2 days on a truck, the helium could be anywhere in the contiguous United States. So that has a big strategic element. The other thing is that our project, so it's called the Topaz Project, this one in Minnesota. It's been drilled. The discovery well occurred a few years ago. It hit helium, and that helium is extremely high grade, high concentration, 10.5% helium. So really, in the industry for helium, anything that's above 0.3% is considered to be interesting for commercial viability. So you can just imagine what 10.5%, it truly is, world class. So now the objective is to go forward and find out what's the size of the prize. So since we listed in August, the company had existed for a few years before then, but in the middle of August is when we listed on the TSXV. Since then, the major milestones have been that we've acquired more land. So it's the USA has got quite a complicated licensing structure, but we've been successful in getting more land in the area of interest. It's important because we're the first mover there in Minnesota. This is a brand new reservoir for helium, so we really want to have that monopoly position. The other thing is that we commenced a seismic survey, and today of days, we just announced the result of the seismic survey. So since the acquisition and then the processing of the data, we just announced that, and couldn't be happier with the results. I mean, it's just ideal. I mean, really, what happened is that the discovery in Minnesota was by chance. So when drilling there, the company at the time was looking for a different commodity, a mineral, nickel, and instead they hit gas. And so then we came in. It's a bit cart before the horse, Zach. So it's like you go out and drill a hole and you found the helium. But typically what you do is you get all the background data first and then you drill the hole. So typically you get your geophysics, you get your geochemistry, your mapping, and so on. That then guides you to the best place to drill the hole. Whereas for us, it's the other way around. We've been gathering the data after the hole's been drilled, which is a nice problem to have. But with this seismic, it just really couldn't be happier because more or less at the depth where the gas is encountered, which is 542 meters depth, you've got this very distinct velocity anomaly, a velocity decrease. You've got to keep in mind that helium is a gas, it's mixed with other gases. And so, we've got this uplifted block there. We've got a sort of a straight through after the competent rock. You've got very hard, sort of impermeable igneous rock that I won't bore you with. But underneath that, you then get this big velocity decrease, which is net underneath the discovery hole persists for another 600 meters, and that's coincident with the gases. So, and then it's laterally extensive as well. In fact, it's open in multiple directions. So what we think that this seismic survey has accomplished is it's been able to map out the extents of the lithology where the helium-bearing reservoir or reservoirs are located. And so now, for the first time, we've got a bit of a handle on the size of the prize, and it just fits perfectly with the existing drill data that we've got. So now it's just, twiddle my thumbs by the time until February when we drill that appraisal well, which will be drilled right next to the discovery.
And so February is this sort of D-Day, if that's not mixing metaphors, etc. But February's D-Day. How long after February would we wake up and smell the helium?
It'd be pretty quick. So with that, the appraisal well, we drill within 20 meters of the discovery. We know the conditions there. Rig availability is good. We've got the contract signed. So look, we're expecting the drilling to be going, as well as could be considered. All permits are in place, so we are ready to go, and the site prep has already occurred. So really, the hole should take about maybe 2 weeks to complete. We'll have all the testing equipment on site, so we should be able to give the market, as close to real-time results as could be possible.
But we've already got the 10.5% steer, which is obviously incredible.
Yeah, so now it's things like the flow rate, so getting confirmation on what is the flow rate, how quickly is that gas coming out. I mean, it's important to note as well that the gas in the original discovery, it was in a free gas phase. So it under its own sort of willingness, came out of the hole at a rate of knots. So look, we know that the reservoir is under good pressure, but now we're going to get a definitive number on that. And then also to do some additional testing there to see, okay, in the vicinity of that appraisal well, how big does it look, the reservoir? We would then update the resource that we have. So already we've used Sproul, who've done the resource for us previously. We'd be in touch with them. And then after that, we then start to look at the economics, feasibility study, and what type of helium production would be possible.
And just finally, in terms of, the helium, well, I suppose your helium production itself, I mean, people are familiar with, you have a gold mine or you have an oil well, et cetera, et cetera. How difficult is the process? Is it something where there are lots of uncertainties there, or is it relatively straightforward? Because as I was mentioning earlier in the interview, maybe people might think that extracting helium is a more difficult process than maybe other substances.
Well, it's. I wouldn't say it's difficult. It is a gas. So in terms of how it would look visually, you'd be looking at a well or multiple wells, so holes in the ground, and then the gas coming out of that. No fracking, so that's very important to note. So the gas would be coming out willingly. Then on top of it, you'd have a production facility, which is all standard kit. It's actually far less complex than, say, if you were to have hydrocarbons present. A volatile substance, whereas the helium is inert, and we're looking at primary helium, not associated with the production of hydrocarbons. So really, and then the volume is less, so the world doesn't use as much helium as it does for hydrocarbons. So it wouldn't be huge. Like, to be, say, the world's largest helium plant, it really wouldn't have a huge footprint. In fact, it'd probably look quite unassuming. But you use things like membranes, you use cryogenic distillation, which is very fancy words for saying it goes in a box and you increase the pressure and drop the temperature. And then all the other gases freeze, and then you crack the valve and liquid helium comes out. You then put it into a 40-foot container, and it goes on a truck and you wave it goodbye. To be the world's largest helium producer, the footprint would be anywhere between 1 to 6 containers of liquid helium per day. So you're not going to really saturate any networks. You're not going to need pipelines, things like that. But because helium is so valuable, natural gas being about $4 and helium being 600, 1,000 plus, then really you're dealing with a very, sort of small volume, high value commodity. I guess you could think of it as like gold compared to copper, helium could be sort of regarded as one of those precious gases.
Just on that point, in terms of the value of the helium, presumably as the, the, the date of drilling approaches, the market will start waking up to, the potential that you will be extracting.
Yeah, look, I think that that will be the time. Now it's not very long to go until we drill. I think that these seismic results, really just already, of course, we're confident with the drilling because we're drilling right next to an existing discovery. But then to have this seismic as well, it's just, fantastic. So look, already I think we've only existed as a listed company for a few months, but already we're starting to get a bit of a, a following, which is good. But really, I think that look, we drill this well. Should it be successful, then I think Pulsar will look like a very different company to what it does now. We'll be talking about those production scenarios as quickly as possible. And we're in a state in Minnesota which is a big user of helium. They fabricate semiconductors there. They've got gas distribution companies. So really, 3 hours down the road, we've got a very large existing market. So I see no reason why we couldn't take full advantage of that.
Thomas Abraham James, President, CEO of Pulsar Helium. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for your time, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.